The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And good morning, everybody, on this Thursday, the 11th day of April, 2024. Glad you are here, and we hope that you will be glad you are here as we work our way through some topics of the day. No shortage of stuff going on. There's a warrant out for Rashee Rice. They looks like the cops are coming looking for him for the now infamous crash seen round the world. My eyes peeled on this to see just how justice happens or doesn't in the case of somebody who is that wealthy and that famous. A lot of people talk about privilege based on race. It's not 1962 Mississippi anymore. The real privilege these days is wealth and fame, no matter what race you are. And I think we're probably about to see that play out. There is a crime that put just a little spear right in my heart overnight that I've heard about. Not just on 9/11, but multiple times during the year, you'll hear me refer to anytime you're driving through Grapevine, up on Northwest Highway at the top of Texan Trail, go visit the 9/11 flight crew memorial. I mean, there are all kinds of 9/11 memorials. The ones that are etched out of the footprints of the actual Twin Towers in New York is something not to be missed. To actually go to Shanksville, Pennsylvania is something not to be missed. Memorial of the Pentagon, not to be missed, various others. But as flight crew intensive as our community is, the flight crew memorial there in Grapevine, you should just stop and take a few minutes and just let that wash over you. This imagery of a pilot, a flight attendant holding back, reaching a protective arm across passengers to protect against an unseen threat, unseen in the magnificent sculpture that is there, but we all know what that threat is. So anyway, it's a beautiful and wonderful thing. And they, I guess, had on loan at the 9/11 flight crew memorial a chunk of like debris from Shanksville and a hunk of limestone from the Pentagon, right? And someone stole them. So the police are on top of that. I don't know if you have video at the 9/11 flight crew memorial to see someone pilfering remnants of that put to such a precious purpose. So I don't know. We'll take a look at that. Speaking of surveillance of things, I don't usually do a lot of crime stories as talk show topics because, I mean, they're not. It's just, wow, crime, bad. Which, now, overall, crime is, of course, a seething talk show topic because we are in a time when there is an election coming up when you can make a statement about crime. Your vote for Trump is a statement that says, it's kind of funny. Let me tell you what the crime story is, and then I'll go expansive on you. The crime story that I saw, and I said, oh, this is weird. And so I paid attention to it. And then what I paid attention to was a little characteristic of the coverage. All the local stations had this. There's some guy, showing up in Plano, beating people with a hammer in convenience store bathrooms. That's not good. And so they got plenty of surveillance video of him. Notice that I said him. It is an obvious man. It is an obvious man. And so I'm watching, Channel 4's coverage of it, Channel 8's coverage of it, and going, and it's like, okay. And they've got surveillance, and I think somebody said that he seems to be wearing the same thing day after day, so maybe he's homeless. All right, well, let's get this guy found and run through the system, and hopefully he can live a better life and, you know, have redemption and go on, you know, hereafter. But for the moment, though, one thing that was weird is on one particular station, Channel 5, everybody does such good work. We beat on the media all the time. Local reporting around here is just top of the craft. Everybody is, they're great. I don't know if somebody got a hold of the manual or something, because about halfway through this morning's Channel 5 update on the Plano hammer attacker, you get references to him as they. References to their victims. Sorry, what? So it's one guy. And the weird thing is, the reporter says we have video surveillance of him. Here he is. And then 10 seconds later, a reference to a hammer in their hand. Their hand? So love these folks. Gave a little Twitter love. Said, guys, fix this. That's a man. That's a man. That's a he. That's a him. That's a man. Stop it. Stop it now. Because I got to tell you, you have got to stomp this stuff out when it first arises. You know, just to stay on gender beat for a second. Do you ever get the pushback when you try to fight for, you know, women's sports or gender sanity or the manhood and womanhood that God created and science defines? And you're fighting for this and you make a point about this. You ever get somebody give you a little pushback and says, come on, man, why are you so worked up about this? I mean, how many total human beings are we talking about? How many trans athletes are there? How many men are there actually competing against women? How many are there? And of course, the answer is, it is an infinitesimally small number, yes. But that's why it stops here. That's what they want you to do. They want you to relax. They want you to stand down. They want you to say, it's not such a big deal. Just one guy. You know, one guy in the pool with Riley Gaines. You know, it's just one video of one man breaking a girl's nose with a volleyball spike. It's just one high school of girls in Vermont that got smoked by 50 because there were two guys, you know, on the opposing team. Come on, listen, how many thousands upon thousands upon thousands of competitions and athletes, and please, against the full backdrop of it, how many are there? And the numerical answer right now is not very many. And you know what? We're going to keep it that way because we're going to fight doggedly every day so that this lunacy does not advance, because that's how it advances. Our laxitude, our laziness. One of the old quotes, the only thing necessary for evil to succeed is for good people to do nothing. They want you to do nothing so that they can succeed. So who is succeeding against all odds? That would be this guy named Donald Trump. So when I talked about what your Trump vote is emblematic of, in many an election, your vote for the Republican means you are conservative and want conservative things. That will obviously be true this time as well. Your vote for Biden means you are liberal. You want liberal things. It might mean some other things too. let's stay stay on topic for a moment. That it means you have a political leaning and you want a president with your political leaning. That is human nature. But this time out, and again, this is how he wins. Like 1968, I'm going to make so you think I've been making some 1968 comparisons so far? Oh, get ready, especially as the Trump convention draws near. You know that party is only 3 months away. Trump in Milwaukee accepting the nomination. He will not be in prison in July. He will not be in prison at all. Yeah, two people not going to jail: Donald Trump and Rashee Rice. Difference is one of them deserves to, and it ain't Donald Trump. This year, and when you have these kind of things going for you, this is how you win. And here's what I mean by the 1968 comparison. The vote for Nixon in 1968, where he won, and the resounding landslide of 1972, where he beat McGovern, was not all people who thought he was great, people who were stone cold conservative, people who agreed with him on every issue. In 1968 and in 1972, there were voters who thought that the country was going bat poop crazy. And the Nixon vote was a cry for normalcy. Remember his reference to the silent majority. There's a silent majority out there. And there was some genius in that. It was people who felt certain ways about certain things and who constituted a majority of Americans, but they weren't out on the streets like the Vietnam protesters were. They weren't out on the streets like a whole lot of activists were. They were, you know, busy putting on clothes and raising the kids and going to work and just doing things. And they were not silent at the ballot box in 1968 when they elevated Nixon, a fairly unpopular figure, to the presidency and then reelected him resoundingly in 1972. It was a blow for normalcy. It was a blow for law and order. It was a blow against the extremism of the left at the time. And in the 1972, the extremism of their actual candidate in George McGovern. That's the echo that will be heard this year if we play our cards right. The Trump vote is a vote for a country to actually have borders. The Trump vote is a vote for a country to actually punish crime. The Trump vote is a vote for a country to actually have a functioning economy. The Trump vote is a vote for a country where we know how many genders God made. The Trump vote is a vote for a country that has not lost its cotton picking mind. That's what the Trump vote is. And of course it is, and I'll say this every time if I need to, it is one of the more disconnected things that the normalcy candidate is such an odd duck. Did you see him at Chick-fil-A? It was so great. It was so great. I want 30 milkshakes. I want them for everybody. I want to take care of everyone. How are y'all doing? You doing okay? You happy? You're going to get rich. And by the way, the staff, made up largely of young blacks, most of them female, just were enthralled. Now, part of it, star quality, ooh, former president's here. It's a big deal. But, I don't know. There's just something. There's a connectivity to him. There is a... Even as a real estate billionaire who's already been president once, there's a common man relatability, common person relatability to him. Figure of speech, give me a break. There's a common there's a common folk relatability to him that you throw that in and you get some discipline on the campaign trail. And it's funny. What do I mean by discipline? Because a lot of his campaign trail is going to be in courtrooms and courthouse lobbies going through these stupid trials. But staying on, message discipline, which he is more than capable of. If these trials are going to be very bad for Joe Biden, almost as bad as visits by visiting dignitaries. It was crazy. It was crazy as the Japanese Prime Minister, Fumio Kishida. That's wild. Mike is in Japan. Japanese Prime Minister is here. Coincidence? and they're in the Oval Office, as will often happen. You've often seen the footage on C-SPAN of here's the president and some visiting foreign dignitary from some other country, like, you know, hey, Mr. President, Mr. Prime Minister, great to have you here. Welcome to the White House. Welcome to the Oval Office. We look forward to fruitful conversations on this issue, that issue, ba-da-ba-da-bum. And Biden is doing this, except it's never a good idea for Biden to be reading from index cards. Well, first of all, that's just not great in and of itself. But it also means that your head is pointed down, so it appears at any given moment that he could nod off. It was brutal. So anyway, that's the guy who's president now. And, it just cannot stand. And when Joe Biden is, well, it's kind of funny when I say he, I don't know how many of these decisions he's making. I don't know how many of these words he says are from his head or his heart. Is he at this point an animatronic figure? Being with marionette strings attached to other people. Of course, I know animatronic figures don't require marionette strings. I need a different metaphor. But in the current chapter of savagery toward Israel, abandonment of Israel, betrayal of Israel in order to appease the Hamas wing of the Democrat Party. Is that him? Is that him? Is he the locomotive leading the train, or is he the caboose at the back of the train as others guide that pernicious and loathsome foreign policy? This can't stand. It just can't, can it? And I put this in question form because it's up to us. It's up to us. Somebody stopped me in the hall of this building yesterday and said, Mark, can Biden actually win? I said, of course he can. Of course he can. Truly anything's possible. It is up to us. I said, there are two enormous forces at play in this election. Two just tectonic earth's crust shifts of strong force that'll be at play in this election. One is the devotion and enthusiasm people feel for Trump. The other is the malicious hatred people feel for Trump. Which one wins? Because there's no net enthusiasm for Biden. Find 100 honest Democrats, and there's not anything particularly inspiring they find in Biden. They just want to hold off another Trump presidency. And why do they not want another Trump presidency? Because that means conservative things will happen. So, yeah, anything's possible. Do I, as Mike says, like our chances? I do. Do I have confidence? I have confidence in the possibilities. Do we need to be on our game? We sure do. Do we need to plow our way through idiots like John Bolton? Oh, by the way, what have I said about Trump hatred? Trump hatred makes nice people mean. It makes funny people unfunny. And it makes smart people stupid. Bolton talking about how, he can't vote for Trump, but he can't vote for Biden. You just did vote for Biden. A non-vote for Trump, it makes you a Biden voter. And it's John Bolton, who's been on the show a bunch of times and had his head screwed on straight before Trump broke him. John Bolton opposes everything Joe Biden stands for and yet can't vote for Trump because he can't get over himself. So we got to fight through that nonsense, too. All right. To help us with every fight, with every struggle we may have, Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools and public spaces are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn, where we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. 725. I did too much lying, wasted too much time. Now I'm here. Out of the UK, it is Lisa Stansfield's birthday. All around the world. I can't find my baby. I don't know when, I don't know. Great record. Why he's gone away and I don't know where he is. She is 58 today. Here's what I'm going to find. I'm going to look into the newsroom. We're going to find Nikki Whaley. And on the other side of the news, we're going to find Congressman Jake Elsey. This is Responsiveness. I texted Jake and said, can you help a brother out? Speaker Mike Johnson, just what? Can we have another speaker battle? Who are the people who are haranguing him now? Do they have a point? Do they not? Just what's going on with that? So Congressman Jake Elsey will join us and explain it all to us next. 7:31. Here's Nikki. And take a message. I think I'm getting too cute in this way. Or it's just an excuse to play some Dionne Warwick. Message to Michael. Speaker Mike Johnson getting a message from, what is it, 19 members of the Republican Party who are blocking something because they don't like something he's doing. And just so, do they have a point? Do they not? Is it mischief? Is it principle? So I'm sitting thinking, okay, literally it hit me like an hour ago. It's like, who can I bother on the fly who's in Congress? And so his blessing and his curse is that it's Jake Elzey. So I buzz, so I text Jake, can you come on the show like anytime? And it looked like it wasn't going to happen. And often when we're trying to get guests on the fly, people will tell us they can or they can't. You don't often get a reply like this. Wish I could. Meeting later this morning with the Estonian defense minister. Name dropper. Congressman Jake Elzey is here, though, able to cram it in here before that meeting. Welcome, sir. How you doing?
I'm great. I got the best job in the world, and I survived D.C. traffic this morning.
Yeah, so life is good for me. Congratulations. I don't want to get to that Estonian defense minister thing in just a second, because I think I have an idea what that's about. So what is it about? What was the vote that didn't succeed that has Mike Johnson in peril again?
Great question. The leadership is trying to bring the FISA reauthorization bill, now called RISA, because it has 56 different reforms in it, largely cutting out the FBI from this process to reauthorize the ability for us to find foreign terrorists. And if they have a link to terrorists in the United States, and allows us to make sure that we don't have another 9/11. There were six. So the leadership got three folks from judiciary, led by Jim Jordan, and three folks from Intel, led by Mike Turner, and three folks who are on neither committee some time ago, so nine folks, to find a way to hash out the reauthorization of this very important intelligence capability, which has prevented another 9/11. And they came up with these 56 changes to the program and some amendments that weren't in the text of the bill. So I think what these 19 who took down the rule, which means that it couldn't come to the floor, they want to see their stuff in the judiciary folks want to see this warrant requirement in the base text of the bill instead of an amendment. And so it's reauthorized for 5 years. It was reauthorized under President Trump, and he signed it in 2018. So it's up for reauthorization by April 19th when it expires. And so we're trying to get there. And if anybody can get there, it's Mike Johnson. I think instead of a five-year extension, we might be looking at a 2-year, so that when President Trump gets reelected, he can put some changes in that he wants with the help of the Congress. If there's some things that he didn't like,
gotcha.
Does that explain it?
It does, and and my head hurts, but that means you've explained it well, because it is arcane and it is involved. And so, if I were to be talking, as I sometimes do, with your Marjorie Taylor Greene, with your Matt Gaetz, what exactly do these guys want?
There's three things in there, the details of which, depending on who you talk to, have nuances. The devil's in the details on what it would or would not do. Some folks are worried about the Fourth Amendment as this bill currently stands, which, again, it depends on who you talk to. Warren Davidson is worried about one thing, and then judiciary. Incidentally, you've got Pramila Jayapal and Jim Jordan going together on an amendment.
Well, there you go.
Makes me leery. Mm-hmm. So the folks on judiciary have a different view than the folks on Intel. And so there's a warrant requirement, which would, depending on who you talk to, either completely bog down the process of being able to search, including anybody like an Ayatollah, and require a warrant to investigate an Ayatollah in Iran, or it would prevent abuse of this program. Again, same amendment, depending on who you talk to.
Gotcha. Listen, anything can be abused. Is it the potential for abuse that in the manner in what he's been? Is that why Trump doesn't like it?
President Trump and Speaker Johnson are going to be speaking this morning. They're going to appear together on Friday. And it's interesting because, President Trump tweeted or Truth Socialed, kill it. That's what came after me.
Yeah.
This bill is the 56 changes will not allow that. It is. And as I said, it took out a lot of the stuff that literally occurred in the pursuit of President Trump. That stuff is literally addressed specifically in the reforms in this bill. So I think that often, you know, depending on who he talks to, he's going to get a different view. And I don't know who he talked to yesterday, right before conference, to tweet out, kill FISA. And then, as you said, there's some arcane, this is legal arcane stuff in here that, depending on who you talk to, it's either great or awful. And I think that they'll come to an agreement, and this will be reauthorized, maybe not for 5 years, but maybe for two.
Gotcha. Congressman Jake Elzey with us from Washington, the Estonian defense minister apparently in town. You'll be in a room with him later. I'm going to take a wild guess and say Ukraine might come up. What's on the agenda there?
I am guessing that you're right. You know, Estonia is a member of NATO. They have provided 3% of their GDP to Ukraine, in addition to being one of the top spenders. The three Baltic states are, if you have to worry about the 2% threshold being met, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania are far above that because they are deathly afraid of a reconstituted Soviet Union coming after them again. Mm-hmm. And they are tough, tough people, and they are not going to allow themselves to be attacked again. And so they're great people. I'd met him before. I don't know. I'm assuming it's about Ukraine aid today. I don't have a read ahead yet. I'm still in curlers and don't have my makeup on.
But Google a photo of Jake and see how much comedy there is in the curlers comment. You and me both, buddy.
He's a really cool guy. There's a chance he could be prime minister someday, and I think he's just trying to make relationships. I had met him before when I did journey to Ukraine. And he's hilarious. He's a great guy and definitely has a future in perhaps as the prime minister of Estonia. So he's coming to my office. I don't. I'm just some podunk from a wonderful District 6, but I always enjoy it.
Hey, he knows where to come. And so a moment on that, and then if you got a couple of minutes, we'll bing bang around a couple of other issues. Congressman Jake Elzey with us. Help me help you. If the good guys all want Ukraine to win. We don't want Putin to be rewarded. So guide me through a couple of things. Likelihood of Ukraine kicking Russia out strikes me as close to zero. Negotiated settlement seems like the only thing that makes sense to me. Trump, having invoked Trump a moment ago, has said, I'll fix this war on day one, where he gets on the phone to Putin and says, I'll get on the phone to Zelensky and say, I'm about to call Putin and tell him to negotiate a settlement, and you're going to take his call. Then he calls Putin and says, I just talked to Zelensky. You guys are going to negotiate a settlement, and if you don't, I'm going to give him real weapons. A, how much sense does that make? And B, help me make this make sense, because the argument, the appetite for more Ukraine aid is dwindling.
I'll address the second part first. President Trump had a tremendous ability to not get us into wars because our adversaries, our potential enemies, knew that he was capable of doing almost anything to prevent a real war and prevent Americans from being boots on the ground.
Yep.
That's why he must be reelected, because this administration has shown nothing but weakness, starting with going after Osama bin Laden when Biden said no, then the Afghanistan pullout, and in every other way, and trying to tell people like both Israel and Ukraine, please don't fight too hard. We don't want to provoke the bear. Literally and figuratively. And yet, at the same time, we want them to win. This is a weak administration. And so when you talk about the negotiation part, the Ayatollahs and Hamas don't believe Israel should exist. So when this administration calls for a ceasefire to negotiate, who are you negotiating with? Or you're negotiating with somebody who doesn't believe you have a right to exist. Likewise, in Ukraine, if you're talking about a negotiated settlement, both Medvedev and Putin have both said Ukraine doesn't really exist, had never existed, and will never exist. So I don't know who you're negotiating and from what level of strength you're going to negotiate if you're Zelensky on what are you going to negotiate with Putin about, that we have a right to exist or not. However, I do, you know, the eastern part of that country is looks like World War One with pockmarks everywhere and destroyed cities and mines everywhere. So I don't know what the eventuality is, but I do know that they are diminishing Russian fighting capability, which going through history, if you look at the four nations that are united in fighting around the world, Iran, North Korea, Russia, and China trying to start World War III. It looks a lot like 1938. So diminishing the capacity of one of those four by the Ukrainians without American troops is a good thing. So I think Europe needs to pick up the pace. They need to pay for the government to function. I think that in our government, I think we would rather them not receive cash, but weapons still has broad support from many on both sides of the aisle to Ukraine. So this is an evil war. This is committing genocide. They've shipped off Ukrainian children to reeducate them, much like they've done throughout history. So there you go.
I understand. And having invoked Israel, let's do our last couple of minutes on that. Here's Joe Biden talking about we'd like a 6 to 8 week ceasefire to facilitate humanitarian aid. God bless humanitarian aid. It's noble in its intent. However, the notion of stopping the war for 2 months so that the terrorist enemy can regroup, retool, and rearm, that doesn't sound like an ally to me.
If you imagine if FDR had said, hey, we're going to do a ceasefire, Berlin and Tokyo, you guys, we're going to ceasefire so nobody gets hurt, so you can get aid. We didn't do that. If you want them to win, and Hamas has kept aid from their people and uses them as shields every day. So who are we going to give this aid to if Hamas is still running the show? I think it's ludicrous. And Israel needs to win this war for self-preservation.
Give our best to the Estonian defense minister. Trade a couple of jokes and give us the clean ones.
I'll tell Hanno Pevker you said that.
Two Estonians walk into a bar. I'll save the rest of that for later. Congressman Jay Kelsey, thank you. Thanks on the fly. Love it. Appreciate it so much. And everybody on Twitter. What's your best Twitter? Rep Elsie or Jay Kelsey? What's the better one? They both exist.
Yeah, Rep Elsie.
We like Rep Elsie. All right. Very, very good. We like Rep Elsie. And that's a good place to go for Twitter. And much appreciate you, sir. Thanks a lot. Congressman Jay Kelsey, Texas 6. 750, Mark Davis.
Much disillusion there, but I can dream, can't I?
I can dream, can't I?
Can I?
So sang Laverne, Maxine, and Patty in the summer of 50, the Andrews Sisters. How big they were. I mean, you know, you got Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy and all that stuff, but so many hits, so much love that these young ladies had. Right in the heart of the World War II era, by the time you get to 1950, they were nowhere close to done. Because they were born like 1911, 1916, 1918. Patty lived till 2013. She lived to be like 95.
There's much disillusion.
Those singular harmonies, man. This was some American treasure. Not so long ago. Well, if you're me, it wasn't so long ago. This is just 7 years before I was born, kid. So I know for many of you, it's like a Thomas Edison wax cylinder. But all righty, let's let the Andrews Sisters take us out. And I got questions for you and some issues to discuss and stuff to bring up. If you got stuff for us, 866-660-5759. That's where you call us. That's where you text us on the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line. So let's get together on this Thursday, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM. The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.